This is An Absence of Light, written by Afterism, read by Mistborn Hero, a Stardew Valley podfic rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Haley-Leah. It is tagged for person-specific haunting, Eldric, horror, forests, non-linear narrative. Summary. Leah finds something in the forest. Haley keeps finding something in her photos. She meets her at the edge of the forest. Cinder sap is damp and gloomy and oddly quiet today. The fog so thick it looks like a misprinted photo. All the colors gone, the contrast washed out, the shadows grainy and bleeding. The spiderwebs fine spun between the bramble bushes are bright against the dark leaves and thick with mist. Her shoes whisper through the grass. Haley shivers, feeling cold. Leah is waiting when she gets there, the wooden thing strapped to a bright blue metal frame with two wide and chunky wheels underneath. It looks as out of place as Haley feels, all plastic and man-made against this ancient wilderness. "Hey," Leah says, her face brightening when she spots her. Haley scrapes her thumb along the strap of the rucksack that's weighing weird and heavy across her shoulders, pulling her back. She had to borrow it from her sister. It doesn't go well with her outfit at all. "Thanks for coming with me." "Yeah," Haley says, instead of, "My sister made me," which sounds awful and childish and true. She shifts her shoulders in a way that's meant to be a shrug. She doesn't know how to talk to her. She doesn't know Leah well enough to be nice, and cold rudeness doesn't work when they've got to... well, when they've got work to do. At least, Leah seems to get it. She doesn't seem to expect anything, just glances over Haley once with that quirked smile. "What?" Haley thinks, her cheeks warming, and wonders how her camera would have caught it, before turning to the forest, wrapping both hands around the handle of the trolley, and starting off into the trees. There is no clear path leading inwards, just a point where the trees are slightly further apart, the grass worn a little thinner. The half-carved sculptor jostles along behind her, bouncing over the uneven earth, and Haley watches it for all of a second before the movement of it makes her feel sick. She hurries to catch up, falling into step beside Leah so she doesn't have to see the thing behind them. All of Leah's tools barely made a dent in it, so she can't call it a sculptor. Leah had found it in the forest, a core of wood as solid and twisted as once molten rock. So ancient it had forgotten it was ever a fragment of something larger. It felt like a gift. so perfectly strange. No single flat surface. All the whorls and broken branches turning it into something else. Now Aquos. Now a queen. Now unfathomable. With every angle she studied, changing every time she looked at it. She wheeled it back to her cabin, with the idea of doing something amazing with it. A testament to the valley, a celebration of its bounty. She only wanted to carve out the grooves a little more, dig into the grain and get beneath the surface, but it resisted every cut. Her sharpest tools, her strongest chisels, her hardest blows. She had worked until she felt sick with it, every blow echoing in her head, until she was feverish, until it felt like it was mocking her, telling her she wasn't good enough, she should just give up. She was, if she's being honest, half mad and frustrated enough to scream and thinking of something else when she hit it one last time and scarred a mouth into the wood. The holes were always there, she tells Haley. They must have been, she tells herself. Wood can't actually twist itself every time you turn away. Haley never comes into the forest, so she has no idea what is normal. The path is narrow and awful and slippery, the grass disappearing under a mush of leaf fall gone brown and sleek. The edge of the forest smells sharp and green like an unripe apple, and then like pine and smoke and salt water until it doesn't. Until the air gets thick with something rich and animal and musty, and she has to breathe through her mouth. The trees are huge and old and tilting like tombstones, so tall that most of the leaves are lost to the fog. The trunks green, gray, and crackling like old paint, or smooth and streaked black with rain, or twisting and molted with moss and bark stretched and puckered around patches like ancient wounds, like badly fitting skin. They pass a pond, mud chucked and flecked with green sunken things, and the reflection seems off somehow, like it is gathering light from somewhere else. Her foot catches a fallen branch and kicks, the leaves a few feet away scattering, and her hands go white-knuckled around the straps of her rucksack. They are the only living things here, she tells herself, like that helps, like her thoughts don't keep slipping back to the thing behind them like a tongue to a broken tooth. Nothing else is moving. There is a gloom that seems to gather around the tree trunks like a rain cloud, the pressure behind her eyes building with every step further into the woods. All she can hear is the damp crunch of her footsteps through the leaf fall, the low rumble of the trolley, an irregular tap in the leaves like raindrops, all of it dampened and muffled by the mist, everything hushed quiet. It is like the forest is holding its breath, waiting for them to pass through. The gray stillness is so complete, it feels like a weight across her shoulders, a gentle smothering over her mouth. She is deeply glad she is not here alone. So, she says, and it is too loud, too alien, but it is swallowed by the mist immediately. Leah turns her head a fraction anyway, and Haley feels electric, nervous, and disjointed, and out of place. How far do we have to go? No idea. We keep going until we find the right place for the bonfire, I guess, Leah says, and smiles, quick and warm and small, like the first flick of a lighter, like they are sharing a joke. The fog is doing such weird things to Haley's body, her feet and the chest and the cheeks warm as a bath, her ankles and hands and stomach freezing cold like she's wading through flood water. Right, Haley says, biting her lip, and looks away. It's not even that dense or overgrown, but she can't see more than 30 feet in any direction. The trees and shrubs and low cloud constantly conspiring. There are fireflies down in a distant undergrowth, always in pairs, glinting bright and strange in the midst of the day, and a season too late. Just fireflies. They keep walking, separate as a starlight. The sunlight had been glinting on Leah's hair, and Haley took the photo before she even considered that it might be rude. The rest of the photos dart around the clearing. The islands in the river, the first blush of orange in the trees, cut pale and glowing in the low sun. Another of Leah that's more self-aware as she peeks through the cluster of bone-colored mushrooms at the base of a tree. Another, soon after, Haley knows that Luke was somewhere between amused and annoyed when Leah first darted it at her, but in the photo, it's caught half crooked, her chin lowered as she gazes straight at Haley, at the camera, and it makes Haley's breath catch. She doesn't notice the face in the bark until it is sitting in the developing tray, all black and red in the darkroom light. Haley laughs, huffed and annoyed because it is just a trick of the shadows, but it sets the whole scene off balance, dragging focus. It is fine. She was never going to show this to anyone, anyway. Leah had turned away in the next heartbeat, her face in profile as she leant over to start gathering the blackberries tangled prickly in the bush in front of her. But the smiles had lingered in the corner of her mouth. Haley had focused on the curve of her outstretched fingers before feeling overwarm and self-conscious, and moved her lens back to the trees. There is a careless composition of branches, and then a wasted shot, streaked and blurry as her camera slipped between her fingers. She doesn't develop that one. It is a pointless memory of a prickled finger, a yelp, her heart suddenly hammering. Just because it makes her smile doesn't mean it was worth wasting silver. The print currently on top of the fixing tray is just trees. High contrast and boring, nothing lingering in the branches. Haley slides out the one at the bottom, the first picture of Leah, where the light was haloing around her, and pauses halfway to the sink. There's something dark-eyed and scowling in the trees above her, the leaves making a face out of shadows. There must have been a flaw in her film. It is like someone has stabbed the negative with a needle, two pinpricks that drag all the light through and stain the paper black. The light has changed in the next print, lower and softer, as Leah stood near her cabin. The awkward half-wave Haley remembers turned somehow confident and inviting in the split-second shutter. It is the last shot of Leah. The roll ends after a few of the walk home. The ranch and thinning trees and shadows stretching across the grass, long-fingered and stark. Haley glances at the stop path while dunking the last one into the developer and freezes. It's the last print of Leah. Everything brushed pale in the late afternoon sun, but there's that face again, laid over her cottage. Two small dark eyes, a flat scratch of a mouth. It is framed within a window, like it is already inside, waiting. The scattered rocks around the path give way to boulders, give way to cliff faces, until Haley realizes they are walking in a narrow valley, yellowing chalk rising either side, and the distant gray blanket canopy getting further and further away. It gets colder, and her breathing hangs in the air like something separate, the dampness clinging to her face, and it feels like dawn, like any moment the sky should shift and warm light should melt like wax, but instead it's just getting darker. The leaf fall is thicker, ankle deep, and kicking up scents of rich earth and spice, and something sweet and coppery. They have to go single file. Haley sidestepping ahead so she can pretend she's out exploring, just walking with someone because it is nice to spend time with them, like the rumble of wheels behind them is far off thunder and someone else's problem. She wishes she had her camera, something for her hands to do. Ah, damn it! Leah hisses as Haley dumbly registers the slip stick stumble behind her. She turns a moment too late when the wheels have stopped and Leah is grimacing, rolling her wrist. Are you okay? She asks, stupid and obvious. Leah pulls a face, internal and annoyed, but not at her. Haley thinks and doesn't know why that's important. Yeah, she says, wincing like a hook's caught in her cheek. I just tripped. Oh, Haley says, and can't stop herself from looking past her at the blue frame that's snapped upright with the weight. I could pull it for a while, she says, because maybe she can be nice. That would be... Yeah, thanks, Leah says and smiles, warm and soft and the brightest thing in the forest. She has the kind of mouth a camera loves, all curves and shadow and animated even in stillness. Haley wants... Oh, photos of her she doesn't have to burn, or something. A chance to find the best way of capturing that smile. Maybe to take her to the beach and find the light glinting of the waves on her cheeks. Everything sparkling. Leah's smile wavers, widens a glimpse of white teeth. I'd love to sculpt you, she says suddenly, and Haley's gaze snaps upright. In clay, obviously, I'm not going to touch wood for a while, I think. Oh? Haley says, still thinking of the sea. I guess I owe you for all the photos you let me take, she says, grin quick and sideways before she bites her lip to control it. She has to fight the urge to duck her head and giggle. "I didn't mind," Leah says, the curve of her mouth a summer ocean on a still day. Inviting. They should. She should. A bird takes off somewhere high and unseen in a crash of leaves that startles them both. "Right," Leah says as Haley starts. "I should." And they dance around each other so Haley can take the handles, not looking down, only glancing back at the way they've come, the end of the valley swallowed in fog. And Leah can walk ahead, watching her steps more carefully. Her heart is hammering in her chest, annunciating certainty behind her, a terrifying possibility in front. It sits on Leah's sculpting plinth, inanimate and solid and scowling. The low sunlight slants across its face and catches every furrow in grain as dust motes dance around it like fireflies or embers. "Huh," Haley says, and holds up the photograph she took of Leah picking mushrooms at the edge of the forest. "Same eyes." "Same mouth, too," Leah says, looking between them. The sharp line cuts flat and disapproving across the wood, a few inches below two deep, dark hollows where thin branches might have once grown before solidifying into knots, dense as black holes. The photos were unsettling. The thing in Leah's cabin makes her feel seasick if she looks at it for too long, like the wood is tilting, unseen in some immense and unfathomable way. "Well," Leah says and sighs. "Fuck." The narrow valley opens like a fly trap, sticky and jagged. The mist is still thick, but there is color. Suddenly, the new old forest floor green and hidden with ferns and ivy blankets and tumbling plants twisting together. Moss and climbing trendles paint the old trunks that tilt damp, dark, and drunk with age, strangle the young thin saplings that stretch towards the distant promise of light. Everything lush, all of a sudden, timeless and smelling like a greenhouse gone forgotten and wild. There is life, too. Moths and birds and tiny flying things with sounds a thousand times bigger than their wings. Drips and pops patter high up among the leaves, the mist sighing into raindrops. "I remember this," Leah says, turning slightly to tumble her voice over her shoulder. "I think there's a clearing not much further on." Haley's toes are cramping in her boots, the metal handle of the frame trading biting temperatures through her palms. Cold, then hot, then cold again. "Great," she says, flatly, and blinks when Leah just laughs, loud and short. She fits in here, Haley thinks, and wants to stop. There's a rolling urge to dig her heels in, to make herself very small, to turn and run and take. It doesn't feel like autumn anymore, like they've wandered into somewhere without the right time or scale or rules. She has the sudden, baseless idea that she couldn't find her way back, like the knowledge in a dream. Unearned but irrefutable. The earth is insubstantial under her feet, new and uniformed and still shifting. She can feel tree roots stretching out like fingers in a grave. She wants to scream, she wants. She has stopped, Haley realizes when Leah turns back to her with raised eyebrows. "We can probably pull it together if you're tired," she says, like she can't feel that, like she doesn't know how wrong this is. Haley opens her mouth, steps forward, and lets go of the trolley and feels better, suddenly, like the quietness after being ill, the stomach-empty feeling of knowing the worst is over. "Oh," she says, and looks at the fingerless gloves on Leah's hands. "Are you okay?" Leah asks. "I should have brought gloves," Haley says. Her voice is snapped and annoyed, and Leah blinks. The mists have closed in again, hiding whatever sunlight glinted down here, all the green looking dark and sleek. "It's not much further," Leah says, and Haley swallows. The thought of touching it again makes her stomach grow cold and heavy. Giving up makes her want to stamp her foot and scream. "Here," Leah says, and starts to tug off one glove. "One hand each?" Haley's stomach turns over, protests. She takes it, fingers brushing through the leather, warm as Leah's skin, and slips it on. "Thanks," she says, heedless, and Leah's mouth ripples as she falls into place beside her. "Not much further," Leah promises, and I plow through the ivy that blankets everything. Haley pounds on her door later that night. "So, my sister says we should burn it," she says, wrapping her arms tight around herself. "Like, all of it." She wasn't wrong. The forest suddenly stops, suddenly slips wetly into a clearing that dips towards an uncertain middle. Some of the trees around the edge have split their bark, curled back and thickened around their bone-white hearts. The trunks on the far side are fog-lost and indistinct. "Here looks good," Leah says, loud and overbright, like a lie. "Yeah," Haley conspires, her heart fluttering in her chest, a bird sensing danger. They head down towards the center, the wooden thing slipping and heavy with gravity. There's something there already, like a marker, like the remains of a bonfire. Something burned 1,000 years ago, and now blackened and long gone and swallowed by the grass. "So we just make a fire?" Haley asks. She's never built a fire in her life, has warmed her hands over driftwood stacks on sand as the sun sets and paints the wood pink and orange with the gentle sounds of waves stirring the dusk, but only after someone else has done all the work. Summer feels impossibly out of reach. "I'll do it," Leah says, her jaw set when Haley glances at her, eyes focus bright as she shrugs off her own backpack, pulls out kindling and lighter fluid and long stick matches. It is very cold out here in the open without the shelter of the trees, and the light is as stubbornly greeny and gray. Haley helps her wheel the frame the last few feet, reaches for the strap catch without thinking, jerks back with a shriek. The face is deeper and darker and more twisted, like it's been grinding its teeth, like gravity is stronger here and it is caving in on itself. It makes Haley think of mushrooms and wild animals and sickly, prickly things dripping poison, skin raw and infected. The thought of touching it, even for a second, even accidentally, makes her throat seize up, puts ants under her skin, fills her stomach with ice. Fuck, Leah says, looking at it, and then she bites her lip, considering. Fine, we'll burn it all. The steel won't burn, won't melt at bonfire temperatures, but maybe they never were going to bring it back anyway. She's got old planks and broken pallets, cracked small and strapped to the other side, dry and eager to catch. And Haley grimaces as she slips her rucksack off her shoulders and digs out the prints, the negatives, her camera. Are you sure? Leah asks, looking at it all. Haley shrugs, feeling lighter. There's a freedom in being out of options. I wanted a new camera, anyway. She lies and drops it all in the middle. The flames catch quick. Haley can see the edges of her silvered paper curling, peeling into layers, breaking down. She's standing next to Leah, both several paces back and safe beyond the heat of the fire, and they both watch the edges of cut wood flickering like a torch instead of the furrowed expression scowling up at the gray nothing above. It is laid on its back, the frame beneath it like a pyre, and Haley feels solid and warm again, the ground steady beneath her feet. Should we go? She asks, not looking away. Not yet. I don't know, Leah says, not moving. What if the fire goes out? It won't. She has some strange certainty about that, but they stay anyway. The flames leak higher, flirt with the blue paint, send dancing fingers up to taste the edges of the wooden ancient thing. Perhaps she's been staring at the flickering brightness too long, because it seems to get darker. The wood catches like a sigh. There are stars high above them. Haley, Leah whispers, grabbing her hand. There's something like a tree in front of them, stretching up, and it's molten and burning and lightning struck, and there are too many branches, too many embers, like leaves, like ice, like a thousand dead autumns, like an endless starving summer, like something ravenous and ancient and endless. Haley starts and forgets. She's standing at the edge of the forest, looking over the rolling grass of cinder sap. The sun seems in the wrong place, somehow, like too much time has passed, or not enough. The fog has lifted completely, and everything's orange and green and gold again, clear-cut and saturated like painted glass. Her legs ache and her hands hurt, and when she looks down, they are streaked with leaf litter and mud. One palm scratched like she tripped and cut herself on rocks. She doesn't. Leah's standing beside her, frowning at nothing. There's dirt smeared across her knuckles, like someone with muddy fingers has been gripping her hand. I don't. Leah starts and frowns deeper. Are we? Did we finish it? There is something huge and bright and burning at the back of Haley's mind, clouding everything with smoke. I think so, Haley says, ash in her mouth. I need a drink, Leah says, and then swallows and shivers, like she's shaking something off. Her fingers flex by her sides. I've got cider in my cabin, if you want to join me, she says, and there, A camera flash of defiance in her eyes when Haley meets them, a bright challenge against the mist-like memories breathing cold down her spine. "Sure," Haley says, feeling the sunshine on her cheeks. The end. Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for ITPE for Kitsune Heart. I hope you enjoyed. I enjoyed recording this. You know, since we get the assignments in early October, and I was looking for fix for Podawin at that time, I kept running into Stardew Valley fix and remembering that your request included Stardew Valley creepypasta, and thinking, okay, those can wait until I get to actually making ITPE gifts so that I can have any fix that I find that I like. So I hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today.